I would hazard to guess the weather's going to be about like it has been for every June 12th, as long as anybody can remember here in the New Orleans area. Hot and muggy with a chance for afternoon showers. That's unless they had tropical weather, which is rare for early June, as we are in day 12 of hurricane season here, and we'll take it, right? I mean, so long as it's hot and humid and not hurricane-y, what are you going to do? We're going to talk with Stephen Cates now, Bankrate financial analyst, about the inflation report, how things are looking with presidents. Trump's tariffs and more. How you doing, Stephen Cates?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what we know about inflation and reports that are coming in and so forth and what they're showing.
So right now, you know, we're seeing a relatively surprising report yesterday showing that inflation has been lower than expected. I think that's unexpected by most economists. And, you know, good news for consumers. Over the last 2 months, the tariffs have really not impacted prices or rising inflation at all.
Okay, wait, go back. Because when I go grocery store, and I mentioned the story, I told it anecdotally a couple of times that I put stuff on the conveyor belt at the store last weekend, I think it was, and I barely had it out of the shopping cart, and I was looking at the little screen, and the kid was up to $145. I'm like, hang on, slow down. Whoa, slow your roll here. What are we doing? So inflation, the rate is down, but prices are still up. I guess that's what I'm having a hard time believing, Stephen, because it seems like I'm getting less and less for more and more money.
Well, so that's a common feeling. And I think one of the troubling parts about the last few years is that, you know, inflation really just goes in one way, or I should say the price level really only moves in one way. There's no going back, unfortunately, to the price levels that we had in 2019 or even 2023. Inflation is a rate of change. And so what we saw is that in May, that rate of change was much lower than expected, about half of what we expected in terms of the overall growth. Now, the individual factors that make up that, there's some up, some down, things like apparel, new and used cars, even gasoline, those were down month over month. Other things like food at restaurants or shelter costs, you know, home and rent, those are up month over month. Altogether, what we saw is that, you know, the inflation rate went up by roughly 0.1% between April and May. You know, that brings us to about 2.4%. On an annual basis. So that's higher than the Federal Reserve wants it to be. They want it to be 2% or below. Mm-hmm. So we're not really declaring victory on inflation yet, but this is a very positive move because it is lower than it was prior in its progress.
Where did that 2% number come from? Because it always amazes me, but interests me as to how the Fed says 2%. And I'm just wondering, is there a best practices guide? Do you open a book and it says, preferred inflation rate, 2%, turn a page, there it is.
So it's actually not far from that. That 2% is the generally accepted inflation target across central banks in most of the world. And the exact reason that they have chosen 2%, you could probably go have an economist prove that to you, from decades ago, mm-hmm. Crack open a textbook. But generally, the reason that they want prices to rise a little bit is mostly to delay or, try to stave off deflation, which is the actual rate of decrease in prices. Now, that might sound really great to most consumers and most people that you see prices falling. Wouldn't that be nice? That can be very, very bad for the economy because it will cause people to not spend. And given that our economy is roughly 70% consumption, if we saw all spending freeze or stop, it would cause a ripple effect that would probably send us into a recessionary spiral.
So somebody texted in and said, so all of the Chicken Littles can shut up. I don't know what that means, unless meaning that inflation's not working or is not really bad or that tariffs aren't hurting anything. Let's talk about tariffs. Tariffs aren't, do they affect anything that we're paying for as of now or not? Because I don't know what's on and what's off.
The effective tariffs, and I think what the commenter is saying is that the effective tariffs, which was warned was going to be disastrous for the economy right away. The effects of that have not shown up in any meaningful way. Mm-hmm. I think, we're probably seeing a slight impact to food prices, given that the inventory for food turns over very quickly. Fresh fruit, obviously, can't sit in the shelf for very long. But the tariffs on Mexico and many other countries were rolled back quite quickly, so the impact of food prices was low. Other things like apparel, where we did expect significant impact because we import much of that from China and Vietnam and other Asian countries, that has not shown up. What we don't know is when or if it will show up. Many of the large retailers like Walmart made a tremendous effort to front load their imports ahead of tariffs. When or if they run out of the inventory before any kind of tariff negotiations, and they have to raise prices, that's something that we're still expecting. Walmart themselves said we expect to hike prices later in the year. Whether they will or how much, we don't know. But for the most part, this is good news for the consumer that we're not seeing immediate impacts on tariff pushing prices higher. And I think that's a welcome sign.
When it comes to tariffs, I've been a lifelong golfer, and you can make a four by hitting the ball in the middle of the fairway, then on the green and two putts, or you can hit it in the woods, thrash about, then hit a third shot and have it go close to the hole and make a putt, or thrash about for two shots and then hold the fourth one. Either way, it's still a four. And the reason I say that, Stephen, is when it comes to tariffs, I don't know if anything's happened yet. I don't know if we're thrashing around in the woods. I don't know if we're hitting it in a fairway. I don't know if tariffs have had any effect on anything yet or not. Are we getting a better deal out of other countries? Do you know?
Well, I'm most familiar with that second option of thrashing around in the woods, and I think that that's probably closer to what we're seeing from a political environment here. I think there's been a lot of movement, tariffs on and off, and in some cases on again. I think that at the moment, that's probably impacting the sentiment of Americans more than it is impacting our prices or our economy at the moment. The uncertainty of what this is going to do over the long term is the biggest unknown, and the uncertainty that creates for businesses is probably the most troubling factor, because small businesses, they are being impacted, and that's a real thing. Now, they may not have the headline pushing ability like a Walmart or an Amazon, but small single person or small multi person businesses, they don't have the same levers to front load inventory or to hold prices the same. If their costs go up, they may have to either shut down or raise costs or fire people. And that's something that is going to happen in the economy if we have a situation where tariffs over time are three times as high as they were in January. And that's the current situation.
I'm looking at some text here. We'll take a break. People are looking at it from a political perspective, either as winning or losing. I look at it from not a red or blue angle, but from a green angle, as in money. And the fact is, the prices are up. As you said, they're not coming down. Thankfully, the level of increase has slowed, which is good. But the question I always have had, Stephen, and you can answer this when we come back, is when I was a younger guy, married, I'd go to the grocery store, seemed like every item was a dollar average. If you go to the grocery store now, every item averages about $4.50, maybe $5. So I'm just wondering if when our kids grow up, it'll be $10 each, or is there a great reset or something? I've always wondered about that. As a younger guy, if I was going to be paying $4 a roll for Scott towels, which apparently I am now, and I just wonder if in the future it's going to be $8, just as an example. 622 traffic now, WWL. 626 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Stephen Cates, Bankrate financial analyst. No effect of tariffs on prices, as I understand it. The rate of inflation is down. Prices are not down, and they are not coming down. Accurate or not, Stephen?
That's accurate.
Okay.
Yes, and that is certainly what we're seeing today. Whether that maintains for all three of those points in the future, that's something that we're going to have to wait for.
So along those lines, I look at, the aging baby boomers in America. People that are retired are apt to tell you that they're on a fixed income, actually, unless you work in you know, commission sales with no limit. We're all on a fixed income for the most part. I just wonder how that's gonna play out with my paper towel example before of from $1 a roll to $4 a roll, soft drinks, what have you. As baby boomers retire, they're making a fixed amount of money. Is this a problem heading like two railroad trains heading toward each other, 45-degree angles or not?
So it's going to depend a little bit on everybody's individual situation. Taking baby boomers, for instance, those who are retired, you know, having a fixed income and seeing prices rise can be very concerning. But one of the benefits of the situation that we're in today is that interest rates are very high. Historically, over the last, you know, 15, 20 years, this is one of the highest rate environments we've had. And that actually benefits retirees quite well, because their cash is earning a considerable amount of money. You can buy a CD or even just a high-yield savings account and collect, you know, 4%, which basically no risk. You can go out and buy, you know, treasury bonds and get in excess of that. Really safe investments that can pay you out, you know, a relatively considerable amount, well above the rate of inflation.
So when it comes to my example of paper towels and the price is not coming down, and this has nothing to do with President Trump or President Bush or President Carter or anybody, this is just about prices and the way things are structured. I gave the example of when it was when I was a kid, when I was a younger man, it was $1, now it's up to $4. Are people eventually going to be paying $8 a roll for paper towels, and that's just the way stuff goes? Or is there at one point a massive reset of money or what? Tell me how that works.
So the more likely scenario is that, yes, people will be paying $8 for paper towel rolls. Now, that's not going to be next year. It might be 50 years from now. You know, there's no way to know at what rate we're going to sort of incrementally move. But, you know, you can draw that line out, you know, across infinity and say, yes, at some point people are going to be paying that. Prices really just do not reset at a lower rate without tremendous economic upheaval. If you look at you know, the Great Depression, we had massive deflation, which is the lowering of prices. And that obviously was during a quite tumultuous time. I don't think we'd wish for that.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Stephen Cates, Bankrate Financial Senior Analyst. And when it comes to tariffs, I think we're thrashing around the woods. I have no earthly idea what's going on. I don't know what's been applied, what hasn't been applied, how you can in any way staple that to the economy. But I do know, as the vast majority of people are texting, that you're getting less and less and less and less at the grocery store. So it's good that the rate of inflation has gone down. But as he just said, prices have not gone down and are not going to come down. Mike Strain joins us. We come back. Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. I'm Tommy Tucker, WWL. Time now, WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7, Thursday morning, around these parts. That's when we talked to Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you, Dr. Mike Strain?
Man, I am doing excellent. How are you?
I am okay. A legislative session's going to gavel out today. Sine die at 6 o'clock. That's Latin for there's
six
no...
6 o'clock.
Yeah, that
yes,
means
indeed.
What? They're not
going to... Six on the watch.
No more plans to reconvene at this juncture? That's what that means, sine die?
No, sine die means the thing is done.
Oh.
And so that means it's finally, it's done. There is a caveat that if they don't pass the budget completely, they can't extend for 10 days, but they have every intention of voting the budget out today. And so they're not going to conference with the money bills. So they are ready to go. There's lots of different rules, but they're ready. I was there most of the afternoon yesterday and meeting with the president of the Senate and also the chairman of finance and others. So everything is good. Everything is prepped. They have been working very hard to clear the calendar. And, you know, it's time for them to go home, get back with their constituents, and we start analyzing what we did. That's the thing. It takes a little while really to understand the totality of the session and then start moving forward. So it's been very busy. You know, this was a fiscal session. You wouldn't think that by the amount of just bills that were attended to. And, you know, in a short session, they only meet 30 days within a 45-day window. But it's been very busy. We've done a number of good things, and now it's time to, you know, get back out in the field and visit with everybody we're starting to work on our bills for next year. Actually,
tell me what happened this year, Mike, that helped your department and farmers and people that you help with your department in the state as a result of the session?
Well, one of the things is that we are able now to use a industrial byproduct called gypsum, and gypsum is calcium sulfate. We're finding that our soils now are becoming depleted in sulfur, and especially in sugarcane, we need about 300 pounds of elemental sulfur per acre every 5 years. And we have a byproduct that is used when, in the modern techniques, when they, quote, scrub the gas is coming out of these plants, they use calcium carbonate, and then they use it to, quote, in the flu system, and it comes out calcium sulfate, which is gypsum, and that has been being put into landfills. So we're able to do that. I've been working on it more than 7 years. We work with DEQ, work with Senator Alon, we work at LSU Ag Center. We're going to be testing it, certifying it, and then it will be given to the farmers free of charge, and they can apply that to their fields. So one, we're taking an industrial byproduct, and you think of those gypsum mountains that are there, mm-hmm. and then being able to utilize that as a fertilizer, and I think that's going to expand. Next, we'll be looking at using it into cement. So that is a very good deal. And then we're doing a lot with seafood. We've really kind of just awakened the legislature, awakened the public, and, you know, to where we're going to be doing a lot of work on promotion of seafood and really trying to rebuild our shrimping industry and also looking at our crabs and our oysters. So not only legislatively, but also working with all the different seafood entities, because that is a big part. And you're talking about aquaculture. Aquaculture is over 600,000 acres in Louisiana, and that's between oysters and crawfish. And then you take, you know, our fisheries with our shrimp and our catfish and, of course, our beautiful crabs. And so we're working on that very, very, very hard. We had a number of things where we had some amendments on some bills that some we've helped pass and some we helped defeat to protect agriculture. And then overall with the budget is stable. And, you know, we're putting, you know, bits of money in some very important places for infrastructure to help expand our ability to export our agricultural commodities. So overall, we had a good session.
Mike, when it comes to that gypsum, is that something that other states have been doing for a long time and we're a little bit late on, or are we leading the nation on this or what?
No. Florida, within the last couple of years, has used some of the gypsum in cement, but really nowhere is it being used to go back into the soil. It's unique here, especially with sugarcane, that we need so much of it. But I think overall, elemental, you know, when you look at sulfur is in pretty tight supply, and I think other states will be looking at that. But we, you know, we have 500,000 acres of sugarcane that we need it on, and we need about a ton of gypsum per acre for 5 years. But I think you're also going to find when we start looking at different soil analysis of grasslands and timberlands, I think you're also going to see that they are becoming sulfur deficient. And the reason is that, you know, since the early 1900s, we had burned fossil fuels. The fossil fuels put sulfur in the air. The sulfur then went from the air into the soil and really enhanced the ability of soils here in Louisiana, in the United States, across the world, to grow green grass. Now, since we have taken the sulfur out of those emissions, which is a good thing because we don't want acid rain, we're finding that those soils are reverting and we have less sulfur available for plant growth. And then with intense agriculture, you know, that is an element that is used, you know, pretty intensely. And we'll find that if we have the proper sulfur, we can enhance our sugarcane production 15 to 18%. And so I think it's all working in a very positive direction. But this is really some landmark legislation, landmark research done, you know, through the LSU Ag Center, working, you know, with our companies and with Department of Environmental Quality.
What else on your radar, Mike?
Well, right now, you know, we're telling everybody it is, you know, be careful out there in the heat. We've already getting some, hearing some people getting some heat stress, heat stroke. It's very hot. It's very humid. And you really got to be careful. You know, there's 95 degrees and with this humidity. So everyone needs to be careful and recognize the signs. Don't get out there and start working in the yard. All of a sudden, look, I don't feel so good. So, you know, a little confusion, slurred speech, hot, dry skin, and you can get really hot really quick. So drink plenty of cool fluids, as in water, and, you know, just don't push it. And, you know, and pay attention. You can also have to make sure for your pets that they're not out there without access to shade. You know, have a fan for them, have plenty of cool water. But, again, we got to be careful with heat stress as we're going into summer, and everybody wants to get the yards all caught up. And, of course, with all this rain, so be very, very, very careful. And then, of course, looking at our farmers markets, look, now is the time. They've got some, just everything is there in those farmers markets, you know, from eggplants, think about it, corn, Creole, cucumbers, Creole tomatoes, squash, beans, and watermelons. You know, all right, we've seen some of those early watermelons. We can't wait for that. So it's all good.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time as always. Take it easy. Stay cool. Mike Strain, Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 653-7 till 7. Traffic now, WWL.